Welcome to a special summer edition of the official Lost podcast, hosted by ABC.com. As promised, here's the audio from the Lost panel at Comic-Con 2007. Our panelists include executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse. I won't say more about the panel in case, for some odd reason, you haven't heard the good news that was recently announced about Season 4. I will say that you can go to abc.com to check out the special surprises that happened during the panel after you listen to this.
We're not alone.
One of them isn't in the manifest.
He wasn't on the plane.
They've attacked us, sabotaged us, abducted us, murdered us. We're not the only people on this island, and we all know it.
We knew that this season was going to be about the others, going to be about our guys versus the other people on the island.
They needed something to give us nightmares, and that has become the others.
They seem to be a kind of a rebel sect.
They are like us, but their survival traits are not necessarily like us.
It seems that they're heavily funded, well-organized, hiding some big secret that has ramifications for the whole world.
It's getting even more and more cultish feeling.
I was hoping you might join me for a walk.
That kind of, come with us, you know, get rid of all your possessions, come and join us on our magic island.
The place we're taking you to is special.
By the time you see this, I will be dead.
We killed a lot of others in the finale.
Three, two, one, go!
There was a lot of house cleaning going on. There's still a group that's moving for the temple, but Friendly is dead, and Isabel is dead, and Price is dead. Pickett obviously died early. Clue is gone. Mikhail is dead. So, you know, in the war of us versus the others, we did pretty well in this sort of final tally.
Time up. He's coming with us.
I think we shouldn't forget the unsung others. The Jasons and the Lukes and
all
those.
They're not just henchmen, is
no,
what Adam's saying.
These
they
guys,
have lives, they have wives, they have homes.
They have hopes and dreams that are shattered, but...
by our people.
You know, I think we should just take a moment to think
I
about
really
them.
I really think there should be a silent moment for the others who we've lost this year.
I think the others represent a different perspective, a different dynamic, if you will. I think that the writers have, in such a genius way, planted the question, who is good, who is bad, what is right and what is wrong? They're just fighting for what is theirs. Depends on how you want to look at it.
Whoever is coming to this island next, they're going to wish they had the others back. We were scientists and humanitarians compared to what kind of animals are coming next.
People are really getting hurt now, and things are being done that cannot ever be undone. The survival of the island is now at stake.
Welcome to the Lost panel for 2007. Are you guys ready? And now, introducing the famous voiceover artists from the season 3 finale, the stars of the official Lost podcast, wearing pants and threatening to play the banjo, Carlton Cuse and Damon Lindelof.
Now, obviously, we're in a little bit of a difficult position, aren't we not, David? Because,
yes.
You know, we want to answer certain questions, but we don't want to, at the same time, demystify the show in terms of what's going on. So we've actually constructed a little fail-safe device for ourselves here. And what we've done is we've brought these bells with us.
Right. Cool. And, well, here's the thing. Carlton and I, we're drunk, first off.
That was the first step.
And when we're in that state, we tend to kind of prattle on and on, give away too much. Now, as you guys know, and thanks mostly to the fans of the show, we have been given an ending.
That's
Carlton's
how it works.
Bell works.
Okay.
It should sound like that.
So.
But basically, we've been given an ending to the show. We're going to be doing 3 more seasons of 16 each, which is very exciting. you know, something we've never would have been able to do in a million years without you guys. And I'm not saying that because we're in this room, but for 3 years we've been coming down to the con and we've been getting asked that question and we've been saying we really want to end the show. And I think basically the fans spoke up and the network and the studio really heard them. But in any case, we're not going to be on until February this year. That's the bad news. But we're going to run straight, no reruns, those straight 16 episodes.
And, you know, so, you know, we wanted to, obviously, we've been sort of in radio silence since the finale, so we wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the show, but obviously, since we are still 7 or 8 months out from when it's actually coming back on the air, we don't want to be in a position of saying too much. So we've constructed the following fail-safe. If either of us feels that the other person is giving away too much in an answer, he can ring the other person out.
And then that person has to shut up immediately. So, you know, this way we can watch each other's back. And so Carlton punched me in the mouth once after a panel because I said something about Nikki and Paolo, and we want to prevent that from happening. So
if I said the monster was a security...
Right. Now, so...
It would, now just works know. Like that. So, you know, just so you're aware of what's happening. I would also like to just add our profound thanks to ABC Studios, Mark Pedowitz, and Steve McPherson from the network who really were able to help us arrive at this end date for the show. And it's been incredibly liberating for us because, you know, we had this mythology and we didn't know how many episodes it had to play out over, whether we were, you know, going to make 2 years of the show or 10 years of the show. And now we know for certain there are going to be 48 episodes of Lost left. We know exactly how much time we have to fill, and it's really helping us as storytellers. And the three seasons of 16 episodes also is good because, unlike a show like 24 that resets every year, we have all this carry-forward mythology. It's a very hard show to write and keep fresh and kind of keep the ball rolling down the field. And so it gives us more time to do our work, to make the show good, which is, you know, obviously what we want to do for you guys.
So the great thing about the con is this is really our time to talk directly with the fans. You know, we want to hear your questions, hear your comments. Sometimes it can get a little brutal, but that actually helps us write the show. I think we need to make ourselves accessible to you guys and hear what your thoughts are because it's worked out pretty well so far. So there is a microphone, I believe, somewhere in the middle of the, where is it?
The microphone is in the middle of the room, and now I'm not working.
Next to the cameras. So if you guys want to start queuing up, I mean, essentially, this is really about, creating a dialogue.
Yeah.
And, I know that you have to sort of follow the Comic-Con rules of appropriateness, but if hugs are inappropriate, well, you know, damn it, I don't ever want to come down here again. Seriously.
All right.
Say whatever you want.
Okay. All right. So let's start out. Who's at the mic?
Yeah, let's go. Let's hear it.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
We're awesome. How are you?
Thanks for coming down. Thanks for making one of the best shows on television.
No, you're very
good. Thank
you.
And a huge thanks for the season finale of season 3, which brought Lost back into the amazing character development that season 1 was for us.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
so
much.
Please keep that up. And, of course, the flash forward has still got us all spinning. My question is, season 3, the violence really ratcheted up. The others are an extremely violent culture, and we saw a lot of Schindler's List kind of stuff going on. Can you comment on that? Can you help context that for us? And please, please, please tell me that we're not in the end going to find that the others really are the good guys and, you know, the end justifies the means.
I think that what we wanted to do most of all was we wanted to make this season tell a complete story. And the story of this season was the story of the others. And that story had a beginning, middle, and end. And we really felt that the conflict that the others sort of brought to our guys, we had to resolve, and we didn't want to, you know, we didn't really want to dodge that. We wanted there to really be a kind of final summation, a showdown, a real conflict between them, and that involved, you know, a body count, and that's kind of the way the story unfolded for us.
I would actually argue, though, were you to go back and look at season 1, that you would find more acts of violence that our guys committed upon each other than the violence that the others committed upon them or each other. But our guys are just a lot prettier. So,
yeah.
You know, when Sawyer like is like punching you in the face, you're kind of like, more, please. You're just so attractive. Would you want to take your shirt off while the beating continues?
Yeah.
That would work for me too. So, you know, but when, you know, when Pickett or Friendly is beating you up, it's kind of like, oh, this is brutal violence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the kind of violence we subscribe to. So we promise that as the show moves forward, if the violence stays intense, it will be perpetrated by catastrophically good-looking people. That's
great.
That's
it. Best we can do.
Next question, please.
Oh my God, you guys look so much cooler in 3D. So anyway, my question is, each episode has its own writers, right? Like normally a pair. So how much of the content do they control over each episode? Does each writer say, okay, I want Hurley to run over this dude with a bus and it happens? Or do you guys tell them, okay, you have to do this? Or is it everyone backstage just kind of agreeing on everything?
It's kind of, you know, it's a real collective process. We break the stories in the writer's room, and it's this conference room, and it's got whiteboards on all the walls, and we all sit in there. This year there are 8 writers, including ourselves, and we work the stories out beat by beat, detail by detail. So a lot of those kinds of questions, like should Hurley run somebody over on a bus, are debated back and forth. And, you know, I think really kind of the best ideas win out in the end. And the process of breaking the stories is very collective. And then we'd break off a couple of writers who will go write the outline and the script for that episode, sort of overseen by Damon and me. And they obviously contribute ideas, and the whole... But, you know, really we try to view the writing process as very kind of collective and inclusive, and, you know, so they can, you know, you can throw ideas in at any point in the process, but we really work really, really hard on the stories, and by the time the story is broken in great detail, pretty much all those kinds of details are worked out, so they really do get aired in the writer's room.
And what's kind of interesting is every writer on the staff, and, you know, our staff is, you know, amazing, has kind of their own favorite character. They're a lot like you guys. You know, Eddie and Adam, the two guys who we saw making jokes about the others, the unsung others, have been on the show since the first season, and they love Hurley and they love Charlie.
And
so,
all the minor characters. I mean, Eddie's always pitching,
yes.
Like, you know,
Neil
hey,
Frogert.
We got to do
yeah.
Neil Frogert story.
Got to do the
like,
Neil.
You know.
Neil Frogert is mentioned by Hurley in an episode in season 2. So we're going to get around to his story. You know, at some point. But essentially those guys, in fact, Eddie pitched, you know, the VW van idea in the first place, and that connected into an idea that we'd already had for Ben having killed his own father, and we said, what if it was in that van, and we can set up that van in the middle of the season, and then he can go back to it later. So the coolest thing about the show is the way that the sort of big plot ideas that we have rolling forwards begin to fit in with sort of the cooler, more character-driven ideas that come along, and that's all sort of, you know, it's an amazing team. And we spend, you know, 10 to 12 hours a day in a room together writing Lost, and it's the best job in the world.
Thank you. Hey. Keep playing that banjo, Carlton.
Oh, thank you.
No. No, Carlton.
No.
Stop playing that banjo.
Hi, how are you?
Damon,
good, how are you, man?
I'm good.
Damon had to wear pants today. He really tried to take them off as we were coming on stage. But...
I've actually taken them off since I got on stage, believe it or not. For those of you who are actually recording this against the rules, just watch my left hand.
Wow.
No, I'm taking off my pants.
Next question.
Yeah, next. Good.
That was definitely a bell ring.
We haven't used the bells yet. It's good.
Although slightly terrifying, I wanted to thank you for my new obsession as far as your show goes. And I had a question that's been bugging me for about a year or so now, and I understand if you can't say anything about it, but where's Michael?
Michael.
And is that storyline dead is all I really want to know.
Well, you know, most of you saw that Steve McPherson announced yesterday at the Television Critics Association meeting that Harold Perrineau will be back on the show this coming season.
This was a kind of a bummer for us because we got spoiled. you know, obviously, hopefully we could have timed the announcements at the same time, but that was an announcement we were hoping to make at the con, so just a little depressed.
But we, you know, we actually had planned to announce that to you guys here, but we were not actually aware of the fact that TCA was going to be the day before Comic-Con, so the timing of those dates was never really even in our brains when we said, okay, we were going to announce to you guys that Harold was going to be returning, but yes, Harold will be returning.
But we're not really going to talk about how or when.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The questions are so nice this year. It's like, nice. I know you are somewhere in that line, that special someone who is going to make me wake up in a cold sweat for the next half a year trying to make you happy. But I can't ever make you happy, can I, you?
Why do you want someone to come on the stage and say the show sucks?
I don't.
I know, you do. That's the problem. Okay. We should have had more drinks.
I should have.
All right.
Sorry,
let's
question.
Go for another question. Let's see if it's a good one or a, you know, fan, no, non-fan.
New fan.
Okay.
I was just wondering if in future episodes we'd see any more flash-forward scenes like the season finale.
Ah. Yeah.
The answer is yes.
Yes. Yes, we will.
All right.
I think. Thank you.
Let's say a little bit more about that right now. There's been a lot of speculation about what the show is going to be going forward. Certain people have speculated the show will take place in the future, but we will then flash back to the island. But the truth is, going forward, the show is going to feature flashbacks and flash forwards.
I'm not ringing the bell. That's pretty cool.
There. Yeah.
But I think, you know, the operative question becomes how forward are we going to go and with whom? So I think if you continue to watch the show, I see you reaching. You know, you're going to be sort of pleasantly surprised. And we'll just leave it at that for now.
Wow.
We'll make them ask the question.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to get wrong.
That's
out.
True. Okay.
Hey, what's
Hi.
Up?
How are you? What's up?
I'm good. How are you?
We're fine. Okay, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. That's not my question.
How's everyone else? Good? Right on.
Okay. My question is, like, everyone in the island is always connected. I mean, you see Locke with Rose or, like, Sawyer with Jack's dad. But the one connection I was really surprised was with Jack and Claire being brother and sister. And I was wondering if they're going to find out in season 4.
Oh. This is actually fun. It's sort of like, how can I not get... I would say...
I'm sorry. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, we did not.
The head
we didn't
nod.
Talk. But
no.
Thank you for
okay.
asking.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Just got to have a question about the Dharma Initiative.
Awesome.
We've obviously seen a lot of the Dharma Zoo already, Ezra James Sharkington and the Polar Bear and the like. I was wondering if in season 4 we may be seeing more and maybe a little Mrs. Ezrita James.
For those 9 of you who listened to the podcast, that was a very funny question.
Yeah, that was, you know, you need to get a new hobby, I think. Yes, as a matter of fact, the Dharma Initiative, you may be learning more about the Dharma Initiative sooner than you even imagine. How about that for you?
Would that be the webisodes?
You mean like I'd have to wait until February to learn more about the Dharma Initiative?
How about 5:58?
Wow. What's going to happen at 5:58, Carlton? Next question.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
My name's Paul.
Hi.
I wanted to know if you said there's not going to be any show till next February. Are there going to be any repeats from this season through to before then? And also, when is the season 3 DVD going to come out?
Go ahead.
The season 3 DVD is coming out for the holidays. I think it's the exact date, I'm not sure, has been set, but it's going to be the end of November or the beginning of December.
As to reruns, there are no plans right now to have the show on the air. I think the people who watch the show like to watch it sequentially, and ABC has a whole new schedule to launch. They have a whole new Wednesday night and everything else, so we would be surprised if they actually reran any of season 3, but the DVDs will be out there, and I'm sure they'll do a very good job of...
Plus, of course, ABC.com, and we live in the new media, world where you can see, I think, the last 6 episodes are available at ABC.com. You can obviously buy the episodes on iTunes. And then you'll have the DVD.
And Carlton sells them out of the back of his car.
That's
as
true.
Well. It's a 1979 Chevy Impala.
They're dubbed in Chinese, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly.
The DVD is also coming out December 11th.
December 11th?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a lot of the DVD folks over here, so.
Thank you.
Yes. All right.
Firstly, I wanted to say mazel tov on your Emmy nomination for Best Writing, the best season finale ever.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Mazel tov is Jewish for well done.
Congratulations. I had a question about Ben in season 2. The first time we meet him, he's caught in Russo's trap. Did he actually get caught in the trap, or was that a deliberate... He did that deliberately so he could, infiltrate the hatch?
I'm joking. No, you can finish your question.
And did he actually kill Henry Gale, or did Henry get killed when the balloon landed? Any answers you can give us?
If we had to answer just one of those questions, which one would you choose?
Ooh. The truth is, I bet you don't know it because you only wanted him to be in 6 episodes and then you expanded it. But I'm going to say...
There you are!
There we go.
You don't know!
You Trojan horsed me with your mazel tov!
You've made Damon such a happy man. My God, if we went through this entire panel and everybody was nice, he would be miserable.
No, you make it up as you go, it's fine. All right,
what answer would you like?
I'd like to know if he actually got caught in the net deliberately, or was Ben just actually, got caught?
He got caught by accident.
By accident.
Yes, he was not, he did not try to get caught in Russo's trap.
Did he kill Henry? Did he kill Henry?
See?
Killing is a very broad term. I would, they had words.
Yeah.
But we will be revealing exactly why Ben was headed across the island when he accidentally got caught. So.
They just turned your light off. That's not a good sign.
No. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
With the decision to end the series after a certain amount of seasons coming in the middle of the year, did that directly impact how season 3 wrapped up, or was that already on the docket from the get-go?
May I begin?
Sure.
Go ahead. Basically, we've talked about the show and what the island is and certain major plot turns, like when the others would reveal themselves and, when Desmond would, when Penny would become aware of the island, et cetera, et cetera. So we have all these things in play, but as long as we were sort of proceeding without knowing what the finish line was, we had to delay stuff that we would have liked to have done sooner and push it off later because it became about tap dancing. And I think when the general audience and the critics and everybody else, became aware of the fact that, all right, there's a little bit too much tap dancing and not enough storytelling going on here. This sort of critical mass began to build about needing to end the show. And then it was announced, okay, they're going to let us do it. So one of the things that we have wanted to do for, probably since the very end of season 1, Carlton and I sat down and said, Do I have to stop talking? You just wanted to do
I just wanted to do that.
This flashback device is not going to work forever. The minute that we stop showing the audience revelatory moments from these people's lives, and the minute that it starts feeling like we're making it up as we go along, because when you're dealing with the past, you can't make it up as you go along. You kind of have to be like, oh, suddenly, like, you know, Jin had a second wife, and, you know, it's like, oh, really? He never mentioned her. So we knew that we were going to have to switch gears, and that the way we were going to be switching gears was into flash forwards.
They gave us license to basically execute that idea, which we were waiting on because we didn't know how many episodes we had to fill. But once we knew, okay, we're down to 48 episodes, we thought, okay, now we can actually put that out there. I mean, right now, the storytelling of the show had taken place in the present and had gone into the past, and we had always sort of wanted to introduce this notion of the future, and now with an end date, we had the sort of certainty to allow ourselves to do that, and we sort of viewed the show as a mosaic, and going forward, you're going to be seeing pieces of the show that take place in each of those different time zones, and what you saw with Kate and Jack was not the end of the show.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big thing that Carlton just said, which is, you know, we wanted to communicate to the audience that the show has never really been about getting off the island. And people have been asking us all along, is there going to be, you know, an after Lost? Like, if the show ends with them getting rescued, will we see what their lives are like? And we were kind of sitting on this knowledge of knowing there's this whole chapter of our story that takes place off the island, but we can't start telling it until we tell the audience that the show is going to end. Because they would see, if you had seen the Kate and Jack scene, and it was just the end of season three, and it was another episode as opposed to one less episode, I think you probably would have thrown up your hands and said, they are stalling again, you know? But because it was in the context of, we're really moving towards the end now, people, like, you know, we feel we owed it to the audience. We needed to do something radical in an effort to basically say to everybody, come with us all the way to the end, and it won't, you know, be a waste of time. And, you know, they let us do it, which was cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for making Wednesdays the best day ever.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
I'm a big Friday fan myself, for the obvious reasons.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
You're awesome in your podcast. Thank you for those.
Thanks.
Oh, thanks.
I totally understand that you were spoiled, but I also feel like you were, I don't know, going to bring something unique by talking about Michael here. And I think that it would be a shame if we don't get, and when, aware. I just kind of feel like it's a hoax and he's coming back in a flashback because you've done that to us before.
Oh, good.
This is another
fan of yours, Damon.
What is
I don't mean to put you in a cold sweat, but right. I just think we need to know a little more. It's a little bit unfair.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know what?
Just give me a win.
All right. Okay.
Enough.
Don't
please.
You guys agree?
Please.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
What does your shirt say?
Dad.
Oh, that's so sweet. Okay.
All right. You know what?
Let it be redeemed.
We will tell you everything you want to know about Michael. When.
Did you ring your bell?
I didn't ring a bell.
Who rang that bell?
I don't know. Who? Ladies and gentlemen, Harold Perrineau.
Thank you.
Okay, are you
Does
happy
Does that answer
now?
Your question?
Man, I've missed you all.
All right.
So obviously now Harold will answer any questions that you ask. He has got his own bell. So completely. But I know that I speak for everybody involved with the show when I say how excited we are. To bring you back. Harold is actually the first and only actor who's ever left the show and is actually part of a grander design to come back, and it was excruciating for us to kind of keep our mouths shut, all of us, for a season,
right.
Essentially. We're just thrilled to have you back.
I mean,
yeah. And same here. It's been one of those long, tricky, like, I mean, they've had more information than I've had, and so I've made choices, and then finally it's all worked out, and I'm really, really excited to go back to Hawaii and hang out with a bunch of my friends and finish, you know. And now we know when it's going to end, and so, you know, that this time if Michael goes away, he's going to be gone.
No, I mean,
you know, we can... We
Michael's...
Can, go ahead.
You know, Michael... His story is really one of the most compelling ones for us on the show, because here's a character who obviously, you know, undertook some very extreme actions in order to basically get his son off the island. And when he sailed off in that boat, I think, you know, everyone was very curious about what happened to him and what is his fate. And, you know, in a series that deals a lot with the power of this island to be redemptive and what characters need to do to redeem themselves, we really feel that Michael's story is going to be one that will be a really compelling part of the season.
And, you know, we can confirm that that Harold is not coming back for, you know, a quick pop in an episode. He is a series regular. He is rejoining the cast. Right. We're not going to tell you when, but it is going to be early in the fourth season, because I think the way that we're doing it is going to be fairly awesome.
Yeah.
So feel free to direct your questions to Harold if you
if you want. But I have that same answer I've had from the beginning. I don't know. So whatever questions you have, really, you talk to the two men. These men have all in their heads.
Okay.
So
go ahead.
Good to see you back, Harold.
Thank you.
Well, I had a question about the Lost experience. After season two, that really kept me just loving Lost. And after I found out that it wasn't here after season three, I was really disappointed because I needed my little fix, you know? And I was wondering if we're ever going to get one back, and if Rachel Blake's going to end up on the island anytime soon.
Good question.
Rachel is probably not going to end up on the island anytime soon. We are, obviously, we've been talking for a long time about doing these Lost Mobisodes, which are going to be for Verizon and will be sort of little short movies that you'll first be able to access on your cell phone. Those are still in process. You know, we're hoping to get those done and out this fall. They might be the next thing that you see in terms of original content on Lost, apart from what's going to happen at 5:58 tonight. you know, in terms of the Lost experience, we sort of felt it was kind of a mixed bag. I think, you know, for the hardcore fans, it was very satisfying, but we had a hard time kind of making it work for a large audience, and honestly, we just didn't really have the time this year with planning out the show, with the whole announcement of the season ending, with everything else that was going on, to really engage in doing another Lost experience. But that does not mean that we won't do another one or revisit that between the other seasons of the show.
It's really tricky because, you know, we want to do stuff that is really you know, exclusive for the hardcore fans of the show, the people who really sort of pour their, you know, their energy, their blood, their sweat, the ones, you know, who are sitting outside this room for hours upon hours to kind of, you know, right on. I know who you are.
Okay, appreciate.
But, you know, as a result of us wanting to do that, that stuff has to be in canon, you know? We can't say, like, oh, that had nothing to do with us, and therefore you wasted your time going through that Lost experience. So as Carlton said, you know, it requires us to, you know, kind of be in full creative control of that, and not at the expense of the mothership. One of the good, awesome benefits, I think, of doing just 16 a year is that we will be able to refocus our time and energy into creating, you know, separate medias, you know, attention on the game, you know, Mobisodes, another Lost experience. We have a couple cool book ideas that tie into the show, and really supervise that stuff so that it's awesome and worth your money. So, you know, that's kind of where we stand on it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Michael.
Hi,
and
Michael.
Michael is my favorite character, so I'm glad he's coming back.
Hey. Well, right on. Right on.
My question is, after Lost is completely over, what would you guys like to do next?
Sleep?
Make a vacation. I don't know. You know, I'll answer that first, and Damon can take a shot at it himself. I mean,
Lost is so all-consuming that it's really hard to think about anything beyond that. I mean, one of the things that, you know, doing the show is a high degree of difficulty, and it requires kind of such a full-time commitment that, you know, at least for me, you know, other gestating project ideas are kind of in the, you know, the back of my brain, and I think will emerge as the ending of the show gets closer. But right now, I think what's great about our partnership on this show and our commitment to the show is that we're both fully committed. We along with ending the show, you know, also signed on to finish the journey, and that's what we're doing full time. We're committed to doing that for the next 3 years and making Lost as good as we can all the way to the end.
You know, I think, you know, there's, you know, sort of a lot of amazing and exciting projects that have been kind of thrown, you know, at Carlton and I and some of the other writers in terms of like, hey, do you want to go off and do this? Do you want to write this during hiatus? And, you know, we can really just keep our eyes on the ball of the show. As you guys know, it's so complicated. And we know that if we trip up and, you know, make significant storytelling mistakes, you know, there's kind of no going back. We're not a show... you know, that is like a procedural drama, or a show like 24, which is serialized but can reboot every season. There's always a new crisis. You guys, if you don't like the finale, you might not watch the premiere. If you don't like episode 5, you might miss episode 6. So, you know, it really requires a tremendous amount of attention on our part. So I'm not even really thinking beyond the show. I mean, I just want to say, kind of looking out at this room, it's every writer's dream, every actor's dream, every storyteller's dream to kind of be able to just sit at a table and have a dialogue with people who are into some, you know, watching something that you're, you know, that you're a story that you're telling them. And, you know, I wouldn't want to make the mistake of kind of trying to chase, you know, something like Lost again. So, you know, I might just write a pamphlet or, you know, a grocery list, yeah. Something that I, you
an
know,
annual report.
That I know that I can take on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey guys, I'll make this quick because I know the people behind me, but I just wanted to say that Richard Alpert, the guy that never ages,
yeah,
is an awesome, awesome character.
He is, yes.
He is.
A lot of potential.
Yes.
And
then he's played by Nestor Carbonell,
yeah,
who is awesome, but is actually on a he's on a CBS show this year.
You know, I mean, we run into this problem a little bit, which is, you know, you make a show, but you make a show in the real world where people have other commitments and issues. And I think, you know, Harold kind of alluded to that too. I mean, Harold had other projects and things going on, and it was hard, and it took a while for us to work out our schedule in conjunction with a lot of the other artistic projects that Harold was involved in. And I think we're going to have the same problem a little bit with Nestor. I mean, he's doing this show with Jimmy Smits, and, you know, so we may be limited in how much we can use him until that show resolves.
And we want that show to do very, very well.
No, we don't. He's got so much potential. He's a very, very good actor. Anyway, season 4, that's why we're here. That's what I ask about. You answered this question the last time, Damon, and I'm going to ask you the same question. Please, please answer it. What's the title of the first episode? Please.
What's the title of what first episode?
The first episode of season 4.
Oh.
You know what? I can tell you honestly, we're in the middle of writing it right now. We do not have a title.
Literally, we're being honest with you and not cagey. We don't know. It's written, and there have been several title ideas pitched out. One that I think we're kind of favoring, but
yeah,
we're not going to reveal that here.
No, come on,
on. We don't have it. We'll make one up.
Yeah. We'll work on it. We still have 10 minutes.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot. The show is absolutely brilliant. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, man.
Really.
Hi. I have a question for all three of you, including Harold. So, the fans, we ask lots of different questions. There's a lot of people in line right now. But what questions are we not asking that we ought to be?
That's kind of a Mobius loop of a question.
Yes.
Whoa,
who's in the coffin?
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
actually, if I can ask Harold, you've been watching the show,
right?
You know, since you left it, and obviously right. know just as much about it as you
as I knew before.
As you knew before.
Who do you think's in the coffin, Harold?
Yeah, if you had to make a guess, who would you say is in the coffin?
Well, I mean, and this is just me guessing, and someone on the online had blown up the article that Jack showed to Kate, and it said that he left behind a teenage son. So my guess is it's, you know, the person with the son, it's probably Locke.
It's good. It's good.
It's just a guess. I don't know.
I think a very educated one.
I don't know.
We'll wait and see if Terry reads this online.
Exactly. Harold said I'm dead.
You know, another question that I would be lining up to ask, and therefore, you know, would be who's on that freighter out there, and what do they want out of the island? That's what I'd be asking.
And then obviously the other question which I would ask, which we're not going to answer, is okay, Kate and Jack obviously got off the island. Did anybody else get off the island?
Ooh. What about those skeletons from season one?
Oh yeah.
What about those guys?
And what about Nikki and Paolo? Were they really dead?
Yeah. Are Nikki and Paolo really dead?
Hey, and is Penny going to be on the island? I want to know that.
Oh, the public outcry when we killed them to bring them back. It's been overwhelming. So, yeah, those are just a couple questions that we'd be asking and not answering.
It's about 5:55, so we have 5 minutes left,
okay.
3 minutes till 5:58.
All right, well, we might answer a few more questions. We started a little late.
Three more questions.
Thanks for the questions.
You're welcome. You. Thanks for the answer.
Question about the question.
Okay, I'm going to make this one short. In season one, when Hurley saw somebody fall off a building, was that Locke?
No.
Sorry. Look at that, and he just left.
Yeah.
Oh. That's it. Bye bye.
Looks like someone who just lost a bet.
There's a lot of traffic out there.
I believe I just got the finger.
Okay. Wow. Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to ask a very volatile question right now. Libby. Big. We were told we were going to get more of her in flashbacks and stuff, revealing stuff, and there's been a couple hints that she possibly worked for Dharma. I don't know, it's been theorized online and stuff. What do you have to say about the absence of Libby, and are we getting more of her anytime soon in flashbacks like you promised?
It is our intention to get to Libby's story this year, and we think you will be very happy when we actually do finish that.
You're not barking up the wrong tree either, right, with some of your speculative online questioning.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, and excellent. Keep writing.
Oh, he gave you the finger too, but it was your thumb.
It's a thumb.
Hi, first I just want to say thank you for everything. And my question is, my favorite character on the show, or one of them, is Danielle Russo, and we've been getting hints of her story, and now, you know, she's reunited with Alex. I just want to know, is she getting her own flashback anytime soon?
You know, we we would like to do Rousseau's flashback story. I'm not sure if we'll do it this year or next year, but
there are important things revealed in that story, and they have to kind of sync up with something else that,
going on. That's enough out of you.
Barring unforeseen circumstances, you will be seeing that story within the next season or two.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
One last question.
Let's do
two more questions. Great.
And then I know it's a little late, but it'll keep. You'll like it.
Awesome.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi.
Good evening.
The question I have has to do with how you plan to film the next three seasons. I know that normally, since you've got the 16 episodes per year, do you plan on speeding up filming and writing and just kind of holding back, or kind of letting things develop and kind of take your time?
No, the whole idea was to take our time. I mean, the reason that we're doing three seasons of 16 was to give us that chunk of time where we can really work on the stories. I mean, the process of making television is so quick. I mean, I think we spent about
10 days in total, basically breaking the story and writing the finale. It was totally crazy. I mean, we were working around the clock. We were barely sleeping. And, you know, it just, I think we sort of believe that with more time, we can kind of keep the quality bar of the show high. So that's, we'll just be filming 16 episodes each season to air in each of those years.
Also, what I think is going to be really tricky for the show this year is, you know, we're going to be have written through episode 14 or 15 before you guys even see the premiere.
Which means if we do something that you guys don't like, we're kind of screwed.
Right. We're sort of flying without a net a little, and I think the reason that all of you guys came here today is because you want to know, you know, ahead of time what's going to be coming up. And, you know, we want to have events like Comic-Con, and we'll have some web events, do some podcasts to make sure that you guys are sort of filled in. But at the same time, there are going to be significant spoilers. If you want to, you can find out what the first 10 episodes are about online before you even tune in to the first episode of Lost. And, of course, there are people who always want to turn to the last page of the book, and there are people who aren't. And it's our job to try to make sure the people who don't want to get spoiled, you know, don't get spoiled, which is why, as cutesy as we are with the bells, we err on the side of not giving away too much, because maybe 85% of the people in this room want to know.
Yeah.
You know, there's a subset who wants to go for the ride.
We were incredibly grateful, for the fan community when it came to the finale about what a rebellion there was against people who were trying to spoil the finale. I mean, thanks to you, I think a lot of people got shut down and got the door slammed in their face in terms of basically trying to spoil the finale. And I think the people who did find out about the finale ahead of time, really, it kind of ruined the experience for them. And, you know, so we hopefully will count on you, our most avid fans, to help us, you know, with policing spoilers, because I think the show is more enjoyable if it isn't spoiled, and I think that we want, as much as we can, you know, we're not the CIA, and obviously the show goes through 500 people's hands between the inception of the story and the conclusion of the episodes, and we've realized it's virtually impossible to keep spoilers from getting out there, but you guys can help us in terms of keeping the spoilers away from people who don't really want to see them.
Wow, that was like a public service announcement.
Yes, it was.
Spoilers.
I just wanted to say thank you for making a highly intelligent, high-quality show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. We really appreciate it.
Hi, my name's Aaron.
Hi.
I had a question about the monster.
Excellent.
Yeah. Can I call it Cerberus from that blast door map?
If you want.
That is, right. You know, on the blast door map, there are these things referred to as the CV vents, Cerberus vents. So, yes, the person who drew that map, you know, Radzinski first and then Kelvin, did refer to it as Cerberus, although, you know, that might have just been the Dharma Initiative's name for it.
Right.
Yes. Maybe.
It's one of its names.
What I wanted to know is...
Aaron, may I call you Cerberus?
Sure.
Okay. Continue, Cerberus.
What I wanted to know is it kind of seems like it represents judgment, and when it killed Echo, it seems like Echo messed up in his life before the island, and when he got back, though, he really changed, and even though he didn't confess the way that he was supposed to, it seems like he was really going on the right path, so why did he have to die? I just want to know if that's going to be answered in later in the show.
You know, what the monster is, who made it, if anyone did, what motivates it to do the things that it does is hopefully going to be definitively answered. At least in our minds, we think it's a really satisfying answer. But I think it's one of those things where it's like Kate's plane, which we've talked about at the con before. You know, you give the most definitive answer in the world, and still people are like, but there was microfilm inside it, right?
And you know, and ultimately there are mysteries that about the world of the show that will always remain mysteries. I mean, that's the nature of life, that's the nature of the world, and I think that will be part of the show. So I can't imagine that when we come to the conclusion, every question that you have and every mystery of the show will satisfyingly be answered. But some of those mysteries are okay, because that's the nature of the world that we live in and the world that we've created on our show. But we obviously are trying to have a satisfying ending. It's not going to be 10 seconds of blank tape. It's It's, you know.
It's going to be 20 seconds. Blank tape. Twice as mysterious.
You know, hopefully in the, as the show concludes, our further information about the monster will satisfy you, Cerberus.
One final question? Or?
One last question, and then we're going to show you the overdue piece of film.
That actually was.
That was the last question.
That was the last question. Okay, all right.
Everybody
so,
answered. Okay. So
we're
Before we get into this explanation, again, just Harold came, braved the traffic of the 405 freeway to get down here in the nick of time. Again, let's give it up. Harold Perrineau, back on the show. Okay, so
you know, so we didn't want to basically, you know, since the Herald announcement was not completely revealed here, we do want to give you guys something special, something that no one has seen before, something that is absolutely brand new, and something that hopefully will fire your imaginations about what you're going to see in season 4.
If I may interject, what was really tough this year is, you know, we haven't started shooting season 4 yet. We don't start, in fact, for another 4 weeks. So we were like,
fortunately, we had an incredible circumstance befall us.
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, it came to our attention that this piece of film was discovered in a vault in a building in Norvik, Norway, that was scheduled for demolition, and it got sent to us, and
it was basically a trim bin, like an old school trim bin with all this film hanging in it. It was numbered, and you know,
it had been stuck together, been spliced together.
And once you see it, you'll understand why they called us. But you know, we put our editors on it, and we've restored it to the best of our ability. The sound quality is kind of shoddy. What it means, who knows? But we felt that we would share it with you guys first.
But we're also you guys will get a chance to see it first. But we're going to end with the film, so we want to say thank you guys so much for all turning out. It was completely awesome.
You know,
yeah.
This is literally the highlight of our year, and it is not at all a falsehood to say that this show was born out of the con. And you guys saw it first and championed it, and we do it for you and with you, and we thank you for everything.
Thank you.
That wraps up this summer edition of the official Lost podcast. You can go to abc.com to check out the special Dharma video that the guys were talking about during the panel. And stay tuned to abc.com and the official podcast for more exclusive Lost content in the coming months as we get ready for season 4.